This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 501 Opelousas Avenue, and our post office box number is 6250 New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gayo speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next hour. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this hour. We thank Thee for the grace that's given to us, that we're able to stand, able to bring Thy message. Trust the Holy Spirit to bless the word. Make Christ known to hearts everywhere. And we thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, that we can stand in Thy strength, knowing that power belongeth unto the Lord. The flesh is weak, although the Spirit is willing. And our Father, we come trusting the service in Thy hands. Thank Thee for the past hours, for Thy word has gone forth, bless it. Use it for Thy glory. And lead us in worship here. Thank Thee for all these you've sent this way, the many thousands that are listening in radio land, and the tapes that will be played in weeks to come. We ask Thee to bless them. Our Father, bless Thy word, call Thy people. Awaken sinners everywhere to their lost condition. They may come to know Christ, in whom to know is life eternal. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in Thy wrath, remember mercy. We thank Thee for Thy great love, wherewith Thou hast loved us. Thou dost love us and will continually love us. Thank Thee for the love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we pray that You'll do that work of grace in thousands of hearts here and throughout radio land and all over the nation. Our Father, that there'll be many who will come to know the Lord before You come back, before the rapture of the saints. Our Lord, hear us in this hour, and we thank Thee that our labors are not in vain in the Lord. We're nothing, but Thou art all and in all, and we just look to Thee for strength and for wisdom, for grace, and cleanse us from every sin as we enter this worship hour, and bless Thy word. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now let's turn to number 190, Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. Everybody sing, number 190.
Christ receive.
men, Christ receiveth sinful men. You're a sinner. You ever seen yourself as a sinner? Under the illuminating power of God's Holy Spirit, Christ did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners. I'm glad that He saved sinners. He saved me. He can save you too. Now let's sing number 322. Number 322, He ransomed me. If you're able to stand, come on and stand with us. At Calvary. Everybody sing. That's the number everybody knows. I'm sure you know it. 172.
Oh,
again. Now, come on. Now, let's ring the house with that chorus. Come on. I'll tell you what we'll do. Now you feel better, don't you? All right. At Calvary. Thank you. Good to see you here this morning. The Lord's with us. There's not a promise in the Word of God that will ever fail. That's true. Not one will ever fail us. Thinking about the love of God. We started this message about 2 weeks ago, a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks ago, speaking on the love of God. And I want us to continue with it this morning. I think it'll do us all good. I know it did me, and even in studying and meditating on it yesterday, thinking about the services this morning, looking to the Lord for the message. I have to look to Him for every message I ever get and I ever receive, I ever deliver. I had the greatest time with the Lord yesterday, though I've been somewhat under the weather a little bit, still am, but the love of God is still sure. I praise Him for it. Whatever condition we're in, He's still the same. We find any condition we find ourselves in, He's still the same. I want us to turn our Bibles to the 5th chapter of Romans. Romans, the 5th chapter. And we'll continue in the love of God. I want you to listen to God's message this morning. It's God's message. It's not mine, it's His. Of course, He gave it to me. He blessed me with it, and I hope that it blesses you. In the 5th chapter of Romans, beginning with the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you and I have peace with God? It's not through our good works, so-called good works, or by doing good for others. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that. That's where the Word of God, the Gospel, puts the emphasis on is Christ. That's the only way we can get peace with God. Before Christ, we're at war with Him. We're enmity against God. But since we've been brought into this union with Him, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through Him. Not by coming to church, not by giving, not by praying, not by reading our Bibles, not by doing this. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that. We have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We approach God through none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved through none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that. Just because you do good, or you do good for others, that's all good. Good for the community. That doesn't bring us in reconciliation with God the Father, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the emphasis, my friends. That's the emphasis that the gospel puts on Christ, Him. Let's remember that. There's so many individuals trying to get to heaven by every other kind of way, trying to be saved by every other means. But there's no salvation, my friends, apart from Christ. You must know Him. You must come to the Father through Him. You must plead His sacrifice, His blood, His atonement, His merit, not yours. And that's one thing we've been teaching here. It's been taught here for years. And what we stress, the most important thing that can ever happen to an individual in this life is to come to know Christ as your salvation and to know Him in reality, to know Him as the revealed Savior, the revealed Redeemer of your life, who redeemed you from sin, from Satan, from hell. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through any of the saints, not through Mary, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But here's our text. Look at the 8th verse. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners. Now what does that mean? In that while we were yet sinning. While we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. Now, when did God commend His love towards us? And that while we were yet sinning. Now, you think about that. Do you know that, my friends? Let me repeat that again. God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners,
yet sinning, Christ died for us. We sin, my friends, because we are sinners. We are sinners by God's decree. We are sinners by nature, by practice, and by God's decree. Never has there been. Now you listen carefully. Wake up. Now wake up, Brother Ryan. Well, you listen to us now. You listen. You listen now. Come on. You need this. Every one of us need this. I would, as I told the family last night, that everyone would get to bed early enough at nighttime so they could spend the day, the Sabbath day or the Lord's day, in worship here and listening to the Word of God. You come to the house of the Lord, the house of prayer, to listen to the message, to God's message. God has a message for you, my friends. It's from Him. I may be the one to deliver it, but it's from Him. And He wants you to hear the message. Hear, and your soul shall live. Hear, and your soul shall be blessed. Never has there been, nor ever could be, a greater self-giving than God's gift of His Son. Praise God for His unspeakable gift. He makes the difference, doesn't He? No greater gift of God is conceivable, because no greater gift was possible. God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, God gave His Son. God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sinners. 2 Corinthians 9:15 expresses it this way: thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You ever stop to thank Him for it? Like that song tells us, thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Christ died that we might have eternal life through the merits of His sacrifice. Who can measure such love which was manifested in the gift of a Savior? Perhaps it can be found in the worth of one soul. And I'm glad that that soul was mine. I'm glad that Christ died for me. Can you say that? Do you know that? That comes by revelation. Everything we learn from God through His Word, it comes by revelation. Until that time, it's a great mystery. Is hidden from us. But to know the love of God, to know that Christ died for me, can you say that? Do you know He died for you? Do you know that? Has that been revealed to your heart by the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been brought to the place of a lost, guilty sinner, and you knew that you were a sinner, and then reveal to your heart by the Holy Spirit that Christ died for such a sinner as you? Do you know that? Oh, well, I know that Christ died for sinners. Well, that doesn't mean a thing in the world, my friends. Do you know He died for you? And that knowing that, you so identified with Him in his sufferings, following after him, wanting and longing after him, desiring more of him. Isaiah 53:5 tells us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are cleansed. We are washed. We are pardoned. We are made righteous. Isn't that wonderful? Who can estimate all of this? Eternity will reveal unto us an ever-expanding view of the wonderful love of God. The love of God, now let's look at from this side now. The love of God is eternal. The love of God is eternal. God himself is eternal, and God is love. Deuteronomy 33:27 reads like this: the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Then 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, as God himself had no beginning, his love had none. I know that such a concept of God is very difficult to comprehend with these feeble minds of ours, but nevertheless, how clear is the testimony of Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Can you make that personal, my friends? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. To know that God loved me before I was even thought of in the womb, before creation, before the stars were ever formed in the orbit, before this world, God loved me with an eternal love. I got to thinking about Moses. You remember the story of Moses when he prayed for the children of Israel? And he said, Lord, he said, blot my name out the book. If you would just save this people that sinned against him, sinned against God. Moses knew that his name was written in that book because it was revealed to him. Otherwise, he never would have said, Lord, blot my name out of the book. My friends, do you know that your name is written in the book of life? If you're saved, you know it. If you're saved, you know that. I didn't know it before God saved me. But after he saved me, and he revealed all of these great doctrines to my heart, these truths, I come to find out that my name was written in the book of life. And I couldn't take it out of there if I wanted to, or no one else could. It's there. It's written there. And so it's God's eternal love. He said, now I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. See, love draws. You talk about cords of love. He's drawn us with cords of love. And that's true. And kindness. What does this mean, my friends? that God loves his people. God loves his people, his elect. When I talk about his people, I mean his elect, his chosen ones. He loves them with a love that shall never fail. The comforts of that love, they may be withdrawn for a time, and many times it's hard to trace that love. But I want to read you something that blessed my heart meditating yesterday. It was in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. If you want to turn there, I'm sure you read it over and over again. In the 54th chapter, beginning with the fifth verse, Isaiah 54:5, listen to it. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord had called thee as a woman forsaken, and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, said thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a good place to where you can just rest? What protection, what a covering. My friends, God's love is from everlasting in the counsels of it to everlasting in the continuance and the consequences of it, God's love. And that nothing can separate us from that love. What can separate us from the love of God? Well, I think about the 22 years now since God saved me. Over 22. 24. I keep saying 22, but it's peeling off the years. But back in 1952, and here we're in 75 now, 24 years since God saved me, I know Satan has done all he could through the years to put in my mind that God doesn't love me and that what I have is going to fail. Over and over again, you're not saved. You know nothing about Christ. You know nothing about the love of God. But oh, how the Word of God comes with assurance to our hearts when we study and meditate on these scriptures, that God's love is eternal. It cannot change. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Those whom God loves, now you listen, those whom God loves with this love, he draws into fellowship with himself by the operation of the Holy Spirit upon their souls. My friends, how blessed to know that the omnipotent and holy God loved his people, loved me before heaven and earth were called into existence, that he had set his heart upon upon his people from all eternity. He loved them before they had any being. He loved me before I had any being. Do you know the love of God in Christ Jesus? And that's the only way you can know it, is through him in Christ. This precious truth is set forth in Ephesians, the first chapter, the fourth and the fifth verses. Listen to it. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Listen to it again. According as he had chosen us, his elect, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All that are in Christ is to be traced to the love of God. In love, he predestinated us. In love, he chose us. In love, he called us. In love, he ordained us to eternal life. Think upon that, my friends. Think of that great love wherewith he loved us. And with that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, believer, it was not for the sake of anything foreseen in us that determined his love for us. He didn't see anything in us that determined his love for us. But because it was a deliberate choice on his part and a thing highly pleasing to him. What praise and thanksgiving and adoration should this produce from each of his children? Since God's love towards me had no beginning, it can have no ending. That's something to rest there. I'm telling you right now to rejoice in. Be down the valley if you want to. And like I told Brother Messer yesterday, he came over to my house. I said, Satan just seemed like he had both of his feet upon my neck. And it was hard, but he just wouldn't listen to me. He wouldn't get off of me. And I told him I had enough of it. And I said, I'm going to praise the Lord. Now, you just get off of me and let me just praise the Lord for his great love wherewith he loved me. He got off for a while, but he got back on later on. And he's too strong. He is. So we got to tell the Lord to rebuke him, don't we? Lord, you rebuke him. He won't listen to me. He's too powerful. He won't listen to me. And then thinking about the services today, and I know Satan's purpose. Some things of his wiles and his craftiness. But brother, when I think about the love of God and how I stood in my study yesterday, and how it overflowed my heart, my life, until I had to quit and just cry and thank him and praise him and thank him for such love, for such salvation in Christ, and that his love for me is eternal, and underneath was his everlasting arms. I will not utterly fail. I will not utterly fall. But I'll come back stronger in his strength, in his power, declaring such love to our hearts. That God's love never fails. Since God's love towards me had no beginning, it can have no ending. Since it be true that from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And since God is love, then it is equally true that from everlasting to everlasting, he loves his people. Do you know what I'm talking about? My heart goes out to you, my friends. There's not everyone who knows such love. There's not everyone. My heart's been burdened for you. Just burdened for you. you may come to know the love of God in Christ. Be able to say that He's yours. The burden for many of you has been sitting here, week in and year out. God loves His people. What a soft pillar to rest our weary souls upon, these weary heads of ours. Not only is God's love uninfluenced by anyone, anything, not only is God's love eternal, but God's love is sovereign. It's a sovereign love. God Himself is sovereign. He's under obligations to none, a law unto Himself, acting always according to His own good pleasure. God's sovereign, my friends. God's on the throne. He's sovereign. I came down singing that song this morning. God is still on the throne. He watches over His own. God chose the heirs of salvation in love because it seemed good in His sight. God is sovereign. God didn't have to save an individual, not one. God doesn't have to save you. He's sovereign. Now, I know that'd probably make a lot of people mad. Well, I go to church, I give, I pray, I do good. Well, I don't see why He doesn't save me. Why I don't go to heaven. He's sovereign. He don't save you on those bases of what you do. He's sovereign. He's on the throne. It was not that man had any control over Him, or that man was consulted in the determination of it, or that it was based on the good works of man foreseen. God's will planned our redemption. It purposed our salvation, and His will, now listen to this now, not man's will, His will secures our place in glory for all eternity. Now that does away with free willism. There's no such thing as free willism. I have a free will. And I can choose God if I want to, or if I don't want to. No, you don't have a free will. Man does not have a free will to choose God. Now you think about that. You study the Word of God. Man's will is depraved. Man at one time had a free will. As before man's sin, he could choose right or wrong, good or evil. But man, what did he do? He'd rather have evil. And therefore he became depraved. His understanding became darkened. The light went out from him. The light of God. And as someone expressed it, the light went out on the road to hell then. And man has been gone down with ever since. And it's only a sovereign God who does as He pleases that can turn man, that can turn you from your way, from your destruction, your paths. He's sovereign. I'm glad He turned me. I'm glad He turned me. He did. Salvation, my friends, is all of grace. It's not of works. How many people say, yeah, I know salvation is by grace, and all they do is they say, well, I trusted Jesus, so therefore I'm saved. That's not salvation, my friends. That's a choice that you made. You made that choice. When you get saved, if you ever get saved, you'll come to find out that you're God's choice. God made the choice and not you. God made the choice. If you're saved now and rejoicing in Christ, you know that God made that choice. That God made you an heir of salvation. Therefore, because God is God, He does as He pleases. Because God is love, He loves whom He pleases. He's got a right to love whom He pleases. We're not to tell God whom to love. Well, look, Lord, this individual, look how much good they're doing for the community. Look how much they're, how often they come to church. And they're just faithfully going to church. And they, look how much they pray. Lord, you ought to love them. They don't do anybody any harm. No one any harm. They give. They read their Bibles. Why, you ought to love them. Now, we're not to tell him who to love. He's sovereign. He loves whom he pleases. We are told in Romans 9:13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. There was no more reason in Jacob why he should be the object of divine love than there was in Esau. They both had the same parents, and they were both born at the same time, being twins. Yet God loved the one, he hated the other. Now that's what the Bible tells us. And I believe that, and that's so. Now why? Because it pleased him to do so. Someone said to Mr. Spurgeon one day, I cannot understand why God should say that he hated Esau. That, Spurgeon replied, is not my difficulty. My trouble is to understand how God could love Jacob. Because Jacob was the rascal. He was the schemer. He was the liar. And surely you would wonder how God could love such a one. God loved Rahab the harlot, didn't he? Saved her. May pass you by and go down there in the city and pick up a harlot and bring him here or get him to listen to the truth and do a work of grace in that heart. Put her in her right mind. Put her with clothes on her and adorn her in the gospel of grace and save her. Brother, God's no respected person. Go on with your self-will. Go on in your hatred of the gospel. Go on questioning the sovereignty of God. God doesn't have to save you. You and I deserve nothing but hell. But I praise God, He saved me. Now let us realize that we are all sinners and we must allow God to retreat into His own sovereignty to act as He will. The sovereignty of God's love necessarily follows the fact that it is uninfluenced by anything in the creature. Let us bear that in mind. It's uninfluenced in anything, by anything in the creature. There's no good in you that would recommend you to God. Nothing. There's none that doeth good. Thus, to affirm that the cause of His love lies in God Himself is only another way of saying He loves whom He pleases. Ephesians 1:4-5. I am glad and rejoice in the great fact that He made me an object of His love. I know that He loves me. I know that one day He called me by His grace. He broke me at his feet as a lost, guilty sinner, revealed his Son in me, shed his love abroad in my heart. Was it because of some excellency or some good which he foresaw in me? No, but according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I'll leave that with you. Our time is gone. We'll continue it next Sunday. But be sure to hear us next Sunday on the Voice of Truth broadcast from 7 till 8, and hear an old-fashioned gospel message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton, at 7 till 8 next Sunday morning on this station. Then hear us at the Bible School of the Air from 10 to 11, and then from 11 to 12, the regular worship hour. Let us hear from you. My mailing address is H.G. Gaho. That last name is spelled G-U-E-H-O, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And until this time next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, this is Pastor Gaho saying goodbye and God bless you. Now, next week, we'll continue this, but this is a gracious study here, if you want to call it a study. And how it rejoices my heart to know that God loves me, and that love we described to you this morning, it is eternal. It is uninfluenced by man. There is nothing that in you and I that would commend us to God, that could ever commend us to God. Nothing. There's nothing. God does not save us because of what we are or what we did or because there might be something in us that might commend us unto him. Nothing. And so therefore, he's uninfluenced by man, by anything. And then his love is eternal. It's everlasting. There's no end to his love. Once he loves you, he always loves you. He always will love you. There's no end to it. And then we must recognize that God is sovereign. He dispenses his love to whomsoever he will. And no man can say nay or yea. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. Let's remember that. That's the hardest lesson for some people to learn, that God is sovereign and that God doesn't have to save them. Now, you might have been faithful to the church. You might have been faithful to your religion, your denomination, to your giving, to this and that. And if you base your eternal salvation on things like that, you will never be saved. But when you come to recognize God sovereign, he's on the throne, and he's your creator, and he can do with you as he will, because you're the sinner, and he's the Savior. He's God. And therefore, if he chooses you in Christ, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, because he didn't have to. Oh, when he picked me out of a number, when he saved me by his grace, I recognized that he didn't have to do it. When he awakened me to my lost condition, I knew then he didn't have to save me. But because he began a work in me, a good work of grace, of faith, and his promises he gave me to lay hold of, that he that begun a good work in me will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ, then I knew he awakened me for a purpose. And it gave me hope that one day he would save me. But that's all through grace. It's not of works. Nothing I did, nothing I could ever do to keep myself saved. I am saved eternally. It's God that keeps us saved. And we're saved eternally, forever and ever. And there are there's preachers today going around the land, you could be saved today and lost tomorrow, which means they know nothing about salvation, eternal life in Christ. What a foundation. What a hope. What glory. What grace. I praise the Lord for His great love. He drew us with the cords of love. Drew us with the cords of love. His love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. No wonder we could sing the love of God. No wonder we could talk about such great love. It's not just a passing phrase to us, but it means something. May the Holy Spirit work mightily in each and every heart until you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, and you know the love of God which passeth knowledge, and that the love of God will be shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. And then you're taken up with Him. You're taken up with Christ. You're taken up with Him. You're not taken up with other things, with the world and all that. You work in the world, but you're not taken up with it. You're taken up with Christ, with Him who is your life, your joy, your strength, your all in all. You see, you just don't know a promise, but you know a person, Christ, who is a living reality to your heart, revealed there by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for listening. Let's stand. We're glad you're with us this morning, everyone, and come back and be with us tonight. You can. You be with us. And may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you.